to. We have nothing to offer of ourselves. But you and your wisdom, you and your character, you and who you are, had a plan. And you've always been carrying it out. And that will be until the end of planet Earth as such, and our days and our lives. Father, thank you. And all of this is because of who you are, and the glory is all to go to you. We have nothing to offer you. Our sinfulness, our abilities. Father, what is that? Except your grace at work. If we have any abilities, they are from you. If we have any righteousness, it is definitely not our own. We have none. But Lord God, you are so good. Thank you for life. And as Jesus said, life abundantly with that which really manifests itself as life. And your desire for that to show in our lives as we are born again, to be able to have the ability to fulfill the purposes you have for us as individuals. Your word makes it so clear. We are created, but then through the new creation, a new plan for each of us comes forth. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins, even after being saved. But our sins, Father, are not seeing the change that is supposed to take place within us. The change that you have created us for and the purposes you've created us for. Thank you for being so good. No, you are patient, not designed that any should perish. To you be the glory for the salvation for anyone and everyone who is drawn by your Spirit and calls upon you in true belief. The life of salvation is a gift, and I thank you. Thank you once again for a special week of Bible school. Thank you, Father, for you manifesting yourself, for many catching the vision of what it is to be a servant of yours and to serve. Forgive us of our sins, Father, where we have not seen your purpose and been involved. Forgive us of our sins as we move through life, so often neglecting again the opportunities, Father, of boys and girls and men and women, opportunities of being able to share the good news of Jesus in our words as well as our lives. Help us, God. Thank you again for your care. We have a number of people who are sick today and not able to be with us. We do want to mention Tim Hawes' dad, George. And Father, we thank you that internal bleeding, I'm not sure if they know specifically what has caused it, but in the meantime, apparently he's had a stroke since coming to the hospital. And Lord, we continue to pray. We pray for his personal testimony that I myself have witnessed through the years. Lord God, I don't know the latest update, but apparently he may be coming home Wednesday. Lord, you know his hours, his minutes, our hours, our minutes, days, months, years. None of us know. But your word makes it clear. You already know. You know what happens to each person and when they will leave this earth. And you also know their eternal destiny. Lord God, thank you. Thank you in so many ways. Father, as we've come here now, it's been a busy week. Apparently a lot of people are tired. Father, thank you that you promised that those who wait upon you, those who rest in you, will renew their strength. And Lord God, you know what we've been through. You know where we're at now. You know what will come in the days ahead, if another day even exists for any of us. But to you be the glory once again. Thank you for this country. Thank you that we can openly have a Bible school, that we can openly meet here now. We should never take that for granted. The opportunity to speak out without fear. Should be that. But without fear that the government would arrest us. Not yet anyway, for what we say publicly. And what we don't say publicly, when we do not give in to what the laws are demanding more and more, what the companies are demanding more and more, that we basically go against your word. And the convictions that should be in our heart from your word, not from a me or any other human being, but from you. So, Father, thank you. We pray for our president. We pray, Father, for government. We pray, Father, once again, that we would have this opportunity to share the good news of Jesus. Not only that, but from our president on down, that each one, Father, would hear and would respond to your call. So here this morning, as we've come to worship you, I just praise you and thank you for that privilege. Thank you for a day in which we can get our minds elsewhere so that it can focus upon you. Father, you know our worship because you know our hearts and where they're at. And Lord, may we bring joy once again to you. May we bring a smile to your face. May we allow your Holy Spirit, dear God, your Holy Spirit, who dwells within every believer, may he be free, even here this morning, to direct us in such a way that worship to you would be pleasing in your sight. We need you. We need you to do that. And Father, we thank you and praise you then as we commit this day into your hands. Our lives for your purposes, I trust. And we pray this in Jesus' name. I want you to see clearly and think through clearly as you examine yourself, as I do the same, to see the essence of salvation so that you have it clear within. Am I really saved? And if not, what do I have to do? And if I am truly saved, why has he saved me? And am I living that out? In the reality of my life, in my each day. So let's pray, and then let's examine what God has to say. Father, these verses are in every one of your Bibles. These verses are there in basically every church. What does it mean? How is it interpreted? How is it lived out? And how can we so easily go on living without a life of praise and thanksgiving as we recognize what you have done and what you are doing in our lives? Lord, help us to see. Help us to hear, perhaps as never before. And you can do that through me. Oh, Lord God, what a responsibility. So teach us, Lord. Teach us and cause us to rise up in praise and with a life that truly follows the Good Shepherd of our souls as and if we have received him as such. Jesus, thank you, Good Shepherd. And in your name we pray. Amen. Can you imagine the reality that if we profess to be Christians, if we profess to be born again, that God wants to use us and is using us as a neon sign, the bright lights of Times Square can't begin to compare with what God is doing and will continue to do throughout all eternity. The reality that my life, your life if you're saved, is a sign for the heavens and all below to see. God's purpose is to show the universe as an example of what he and he alone is capable of producing. How does that make you feel? You, as you profess to be a Christian, a display for the universe, the powers above, Lucifer, the demons, the angels. The angels struggle with, God, why are you so patient with these who call themselves Christians? Not just those who call themselves Christians and are hypocrites. Why are you so patient putting up with their disobedience, their failure to follow through, even as we just sang? But we did sing, teach us to follow, enable us to follow. That's all a part of it, because we can't do it on our own. As we begin chapter 2, we're reminded to remember where you were, all of us, where you may be, even still today, dead in your sins and hopeless. Or you may have a confidence that in the end, I'll get to heaven. I'll be there. I'm not that bad. No, God says, unless you're born again, we are that bad. Hopeless. And then we looked at those familiar verses to many of us, verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2, where everything changes. But God, what a precious reminder. God, from a dead being, my term, walking corpses, from a dead being, you made me alive with life. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. You are life. You made me alive by yourself. Not only that, but you've raised me up. Not just from a grave, although dead souls need to be raised up, but you've raised me up with that life and seated me in the heavens. Somehow, not just mystically, but somehow in reality, we are told that when Christ rose and went up, we, if we're born again, we're also, and are because of that, already seated in the heavenlies. Wow. Don't fully understand. But that is my position if I'm born again. Carry that with you when you go back to work tomorrow. I would say go back to school tomorrow, but for most of you, if not all of you, school is over. But whatever you're up to tomorrow, and many of you are out in the workforce this summer, and praise God for jobs He's allowed us to have, but to recognize, I'm already seated there. Whatever happens down here, it happens. I feel it, experience it. It can be tough, bring tears. But reality is, God, I am with you, seated in the heavenlies. What a salvation He gives. What a salvation. Christ, oh, an old song just came to my mind. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ lives within me when I am His child and born again. All because of salvation. Now, saved? Saved. Yeah, even back in my young days, Jesus saves. Oh, then I should put some of my money in the bank and save it too. No, we're not talking about that. But that was thought by many back in my days of growing up. No salvation from God's wrath, a holy wrath, not just an anger out of control. God does not sin. No sin in Him, but He has a wrath like no human being could ever have, a holy and a great wrath. Yes, that too. Just listening, was it this morning? Yes, it was this morning on the radio, I believe, where they were talking again about sin. Is not preached too often in churches. Our fragile egos cannot handle it. Again, the songwriter, I can't even think of the song it is, for such a worm as I, we change it, for such a one as I can't see myself as a worm or less than a worm. But yes, God saves us from His wrath. Inwardly, He removes the guilt. Some of us are still carrying it because you read God's word, but you don't believe it. And you hold on to the sin, whatever it was. I've asked forgiveness so many times. Why do you ask forgiveness so many times for something that He says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Because we don't really believe what God has done when I have repented and turned it over to Him. Yes, from guilt, He saves us. Not only that, but from eternal death, hell, a real place. The word flippantly, I hate it when I hear on the news from respectable reporters, quote unquote, how quickly they throw about hell and damn and the rest of it. Oh, if only they knew the reality of it. Again, they can say the words, but they don't know. They don't believe. They may say they're Christian, but I have my doubts. What I doubt isn't the ultimate point. What does God know about you if you're not truly saved? But saved from God's wrath, from guilt, from hell, from death. Saved to put you into His family, a forever family, with brothers and sisters, whether you know us or you like us, brothers and sisters for eternity, and to get to know. Yes, that's also part of what He saves us to be. Yes, a completed action with present characteristics that we are supposed to experience. He has saved us, the text, for those who have come the way we're going to look at. Remember, salvation is and belongs to the Lord. Psalm 3, verse 8. Dr. Harry Ironside, he began to relate a story one time about a testimony meeting. They almost don't exist anymore in churches. We have opportunities every Sunday night. I wish more of us would use it and not just hold back, but to give glory to God for what He's doing. But this was a testimony meeting, and a new believer stood up. I don't know if he was the first one to stand up. I knew when I was growing up as a teenager, I wanted to be one of the first ones because my heart would pound because I was so scared of standing up and saying something. So I wanted to be quick and get it over with. But Ironside spoke about a testimony meeting that took place, and a new believer stood up, and he gave reality to the words of Ephesians about salvation and all that God did for him. So excited. The one who led the meeting, I guess he was excited, but, quote, from a legalistic background, he shared, thank you for what you shared. But you told us about what God did for your salvation, but you didn't say a word about what you did. Jumped up right away. New convert. Not used to giving testimonies. Stood up right away and he shared, I'm sorry, let me tell you what I did. What I did was, for 30 years, I ran away from God trying to get a hold of me. For 30 years, that's what I did. I ran from Him. Yeah, that's an understanding of the gospel. No man seeks after God on his own. You can only come to God if God speaks to your heart first and lets you know who you are and then what He has done for you. Yes, the gospel. So, how are we saved? It's a very simple outline. You should have it all down here already, what I'm going to show you. Nothing new. But to make it clear, what you need to do or what you have done so that you might share it with others. The gospel of Jesus Christ. How are we saved? First of all, you are saved by grace. The text is clear. By grace. By grace. Literally, that grace, the specific grace. We're going back here to verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. And then you've got a parenthesis, at least this translation does, New American Standard, 95 edition, I'm reminded. Yes, for by grace or by grace you have been saved. Have been saved. It's by grace. It's a reminder once again that I did not and you do not either deserve it. Deserve it. I've heard from other people, and in the illustration I'm going to share from overseas, that's too cheap. All I have to do is believe it. That's it. That's all I can do to get saved. Believe it. Well, there was this gentleman who was quite proud. And what happened was, he was a coal miner. G. Campbell Morgan, if you know some of the old preachers from overseas, read some of his commentaries or some of his books. He's the one who tells the story. He shares here, the coal miner said, I would give anything to believe that God would forgive my sins. But I cannot believe that all you have to do is believe. That's too cheap. That's too cheap. There must be something more that I can do. Must be something more. A Christian, G. Campbell Morgan, spoke to him and said this. Did you go to work today? Yeah. Yeah, I worked today. How'd you get up out of the mine? How'd you get up from down below? They would have a basket, basically. Up and down, the old days would be by hand, motorized, whatever, a basket. You get in the basket and come up. How did you come up? What did you have to pay to come up? Oh, I didn't pay anything, but the mining company sure did. They had to dig down, pay the workers to do the work. They paid an awful lot to get me up. But how did you get up? I just got on. They hauled me up. You didn't pay anything? Oh, no. Wasn't that too cheap? I see. It cost me nothing but to believe. It cost me nothing but to save living for me and entrusting God, because He paid it all. He paid it all. He paid it all. The simplicity of the gospel. There's got to be more. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Oh, how that hurts my pride. Oh, how. Because it's so natural that I did it my way. Yeah, Frank Sinatra. Yeah, no. You can't do it your way. You are saved by grace. You need to understand you cannot save yourself. That's at the start of the gospel. You can't do it. Some that I know very well are still trying to do it. No, you cannot do it. It's not of works, so popularly thought. I call it American Christianity. You know, you get out the scale. If I've done more good than bad, well, God looks at that and you're in. American Christianity. No, it's not of works. It's clearly spelled out in the Word of God. I go to Romans chapter 3. And in Romans chapter 3, I look at verse 20. Because by the works of the law, me doing, no flesh, I is flesh, will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. The knowledge of sin. The law, the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, the Bible spells out what sin is. And that I break God's laws all the time. Verse 28, I'm still in Romans 4, or 3, if you opened it up. I recommend it. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Apart from, it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with me working to be good enough to get to heaven, because I will flunk every time. No, John MacArthur, he shares, man ran frantically to the tent meeting. I'm not sure where that tent meeting was, whether it was back in California, but he came running in frantically. No, they're taking down the tent. What's going on? You're too late. It's all over. Well, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? You can't do anything. You can't do anything. No, it's too late. Too late. How can I get saved? How can I get saved? Well, the work has already been done. Again, Jesus, it is finished. It is finished. It is done away with. What then? What then? No, what he shared was, it's already been done. All you have to do is believe. Believe. You believe because you understand what God says to do. You cannot save yourself, but Jesus has done it all. And why it's not of works, again, mentioned before, lest one boasts. We so much want to protect ourselves, again, our fragile humanity and our sensitivity. We don't want to see that there's nothing we can do. We don't have to. God gets the glory. Galatians 6:14, may I never boast in anything or anyone else except for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an invitation, what a reminder, how it should challenge us within God. Hallelujah, you did it all. And want to do it in each of our lives if we haven't yet come to Him. Yes, lest no one boasts. 1 Corinthians 1:31, let him who boasts, go ahead, boast in the Lord. In the Lord. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, I go to another old gospel song. I think the choir has sung it back along. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Yes, Jesus has done it all. Stedman, Ray Stedman in his commentary shares, suppose you were, I'm not sure when this was written, but he said $500,000 in debt. Whatever the number is, it is a number certainly that we don't have. And we is in great trouble if we can't pay the $500,000. Then someone comes along and he says, let me help you. Here's a check. $500,000. Wow. Wouldn't you be rather stupid, a fool, to go around saying, look what I did. What did you do? Well, what I did was I reached out and took the check. Look what I did. No, the glory, the boasting would be in some special guy gave me the check. Here it is to pay off my debt. The special guy, if it did the language, is Holy God. Holy God, through the death, and knowing it would only be through the death of his own son. And so we hear today of what a child abuser this God is, who sends his son to die for you. And all that the Son went through. No, you cannot save yourself. Jesus died on your behalf. Father's plan, that's how we get saved. By grace, not doing it ourselves, but saved through faith. Faith is a strong word that Paul uses. By faith, 21 times. Through faith, 14 times. 243 times, it's in the New Testament, the word faith. 142 of those times, of the 243, is used by Paul, and 8 times in the book of Ephesians. Faith, by faith, through faith. Faith is a positive response to the offer of salvation that is made by God. Taking God at His word. That's the bottom line of faith, to believe. God, I believe what you say. What does He say in Romans chapter 4, verse 5? But to the one who does not work. I can remember one of my semesters at in Chicago there at a church when I was going through seminary. I was to give the devotional for the Awana Club in that church each week. And that verse was just pounded home there in the manual that was used for the devotions. Romans 4, 5, but to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. God, how do you justify ungodly people? The good people, those who are trying to No. God only justifies ungodly people. We cannot justify ourselves. Yes, to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith, you're saved through faith, his faith is credited. His faith is placed on the bank account of heaven, if there was such a thing or is such a thing, with righteousness. Not my righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus clothes me and allows me in to heaven one day, but to be in Christ right now, even today. This faith is a gift from God. Salvation itself is a gift of faith, is also, again, an outcome of believing in God, His grace, His mercy, His faith. Again, it's not earned, it's not deserved. God is under no obligation to anyone. How can you save this one, that one not? How? God is God. He makes the rules. We so often want to look at our world today, or at least look at me today, and say, if I Oh, I don't say if I were God, but I think inside me that God should do this and he shouldn't do that. But he is God. Again, the potter and the clay, many of you familiar with the Old Testament and then using the New Testament again. How does the clay say to the potter, I want to be this and not that? Ridiculous. Yet we do it to God. We do it wrongly to God. You ought to act that way, God. Oh, I can't say it loud. I shouldn't even be thinking that inside. But I'm afraid we do far too often. Yes, we're saved through faith. It's not deserved. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Yeah, suffer. And some of you have done that, are in the process of that. Whether physical, you're suffering, but for sticking up for Jesus and being not ashamed of him. Again, it's not easy. Peer pressure is getting more and more out there in the open as I see the world today. Again, just listen to some old timer like me not long ago. Just remind me, you little ones are going to face more and more probably suffering. Even in America, I don't know if they'll ever cut our heads off, but we'll see what happens as America moves along. Definitely moving in the wrong direction. Salvation, a work of God's. Some of you know the name Clara Barton. I believe the founder of nursing, the Red Cross nursing. It was back in the days of the Spanish-American War. Some of you know of President Theodore, or is it Teddy Roosevelt, and the Rough Riders? Well, they were there in the Spanish-American War, and they were moving there. Clara Barton was in Cuba, and Teddy Roosevelt, his people, they needed some supplies, and because they were having a tough time. And in wanting those supplies, he decided, I'm going to go to Clara Barton and buy some supplies. So he approached him or her, and she said, no, no. More money? No. He went back, and he asked, what can I do? Someone said, what you need to do is go to Clara Barton and ask, may I have, not buy. Right away, what do you need? What do you need? And he realized again, it was nothing he could buy, nothing he could get on his own, but just ask. How simple? It's not. Because again, I have to surrender my life, my values, my priorities, my dreams, my surrender it all. Just ask. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be saved. That's what you got to do. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. It should be obvious. You died for me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Second main point. There are only two. You saw right in the title of the message. Why are we saved? Why are we saved? Yeah, it gets me out of hell. Rightly understood. But that's not germane here. God has different plans than just to get me out of hell. We are saved to be his workmanship. You see that there in verse 10. 8 and 9 are often memorized, often somewhat understood. But verse 10 is far too often left out. Again, 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And here you come, verse 10. For we are his workmanship. The word workmanship, the Greek word there is poema. You can hear poem. We are his poem. We are his writing. It can also be understood as a masterpiece, a work of art, painted, sculpted, whatever. We are his masterpiece. Only other New Testament use is Romans 1:30, things that are made. We are his things that are made. Oh, yeah. If any man is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5. If any man is in Christ, he is a new things that made, creation. God creates. He makes people who believe to be born again. And it moves on from there. It moves on from there because God is not finished with us just because we believe. I am not into sculpture. I'm definitely not into a work that took 14 years to do. The name itself, I'm going to mess up. I can't pronounce his name, but it's Gutzon Borglum. Born in 1871, died in 1941. He gazed at the cliffs of South Dakota. South Dakota. What happened in South Dakota? Well, he was hired. He saw something no one else could see or attempt to do out there. He saw and worked on ropes 500 feet up in the air. The work took 14 years to complete. 14 years he lived of his somewhat short life. Was it 70 years or something like that? As I look at it, 29, 30, 70. 14 years on one project. He had a housekeeper. Housekeeper would often come and check on the work and what he's doing. And one day she asked a question like this. How did Mr. Borglum know that Mr. Lincoln or President Lincoln was in the rock? How did he know that? How could he see that? I am extremely non-artistic. Again, when I try to draw someone, my stick figure, it's horrible, even my stick figure. How did he know what was in there? Yeah, how did he? He knew it was in the rock because he saw with his artistic eye what he could create there. Do you see the picture here? You are a creation. God saw, as he called you to himself, what he alone could make and do within each of us. Now, the rock had no choice. They created the five presidents there. Hammers, chisels, dynamite. Okay? God has a plan for each one of us. And we oppose it too easily. We oppose it too easily, what God wants us to do. Because I've been hurt. Because I don't understand. Because I don't want it. Not that way. I want to do what I want to do for you. Again, God has a plan. He sees and he knows each one of us as individuals. Yes, salvation continues after being born again. We are to grow. Born again, it's the little baby. Little baby who grows. That's you and I. We're to continue to grow. We're to continue to grow by doing what he calls us to do, by being what he calls us to be, as he makes us into the image of Jesus Christ. We are to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So we are created to be his workmanship. We are created for good works. For good works. Yes, God works through us. He creates, not that we do, but we're to do. But again, it's what he has as he works through us, and as how we allow that. Ironic almost, we're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. John Calvin puts it this way: it is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. You may profess to be a Christian, but if you're not changing, if you're not doing his works and repenting where you haven't been, no, no. There is no salvation without growth. Fruit must be there on the inside, but also works on the outside as we serve as his slaves. Yes. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Titus 2, verse 14. Let me read that. And then chapter 3. Titus 2, 14 reads as follows. Jesus, Christ Jesus, from verse 13, who gave himself for us, to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous. You know what zealous is? Red hot and then some. On fire for good deeds. In chapter 3, I read also here, verse 8, 3 verse 8, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. Careful, observant, watchful. God, what do you Eyes that are open, not just on myself and what I'm going to do here or do that, but as I see people around me, as I see things around me, walking through the church here, very simply. I believe God wants his building taken care of. How many times can I walk places, even in the building? Help me, Lord, to see. That needs to be picked up. Or a few cups outside after VBS. That's normal. But I'm not sure how many people walk by them so many times. Again, careful. Careful observant. What do you want me to do about this or that or whatever as we would live to glorify you? Careful for good works. Honer in his commentary says, works that are morally good for us, for those around us, for God. Good for us to do, good deeds, good for others that I'm in contact with, but most of all, that are good for God. We serve a risen Savior. Works that, what does it say here in verse 10? Which God prepared beforehand. He's got works out there from before the creation of the world that he wants me to be looking for. Prepared beforehand. My wife is making a dinner today. Where I was going to say my kids, but only one kid. And seven grandchildren? Plus one? Yeah, seven plus one is eight. Thank you, dear. She's planned a meal beforehand. The menu, the ingredients, the work. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. God has prepared beforehand the menu for you, the ingredients of you, the Holy Spirit within, helping. Yeah, that we would be zealous for them. Warren Wiersbe shares, this is an amazing statement. It means God has a plan for our lives and that we should walk in his will and fulfill his plan. As we live walking by faith, God is doing his work through us. Through us. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. But you work it out. You live it out according to what he has for us individually and yet corporately. Yes. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will. If you allow him, he will change your will. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. His good pleasure in your life, working it out. I guarantee you from the word of God will result in your good pleasure. I go to another old hymn. There is joy in serving Jesus. You may get physically tired. You may get mentally burnt out. There's joy, true joy, lasting joy. Yes, what God has for those who are truly saved. We live walking by faith. This walk is in total contrast with when you were dead, you walked, walking corpses. The rest of Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 will spell out specifics. Not in every area. As you grow and mature, you're able to take the principles from this area that isn't exactly what I'm looking at right now, but see how it applies so that you can live it out. We walk. Honer, walk in them and not to work in them. It is not doing a work for God, but God doing a work in and through the believer. Allowing God to work. I know the amazement of things I can't do. And yet when I've done it because I felt God wanted me to. God, I maybe didn't want to do that. But God, to see that God can and does use you. Yes, to God goes the glory. There was a church organist. He was struggling. He was struggling with a piece of music that he had with him. It was a song by Felix Mendelssohn. He couldn't do it. Couldn't play it. So he packed up his music and he started to walk out. As he started to walk out, he saw there was a stranger there. He hadn't noticed him before when he was struggling with the music. The stranger came up to him and said, sir, may I? You don't have an organ, church organ. May I play that organ? No, I don't want anyone to use this or my organ. The stranger persisted. May I please try the organ? No. May I try the organ? No. May I try the organ? Go try it. All of a sudden, the stranger played the music perfectly, perfectly. Who are you? Felix Mendelssohn. He played it perfectly. True story. In the same way, that organist realized he almost did not allow the creator of that piece, the one who could play it perfectly. Wait. How often do we not allow the one who created us to play his music through us? How often? How often? Yes. There was a man saved in India. There was a testimony meeting there. Imagine that. In Hindu land, they had a Christian testimony meeting of how they got saved, among other things. All of a sudden, a man well known by everyone, a government officer. He was of the upper class caste system in India. He was a Brahmin. He stood up. I didn't get saved by this Jesus. I got saved by my own religion. I want you to know that. The man sat down. The leader of that testimony meeting said, oh, you too have salvation. That's great. I can use you. I need you to come and help me here. I need you to come and help me minister to some of the lower caste system. I didn't get saved for something like that. Again, it's too easy. That's beneath me. I don't want to do that. No. Again, what does God want us to do? Yes. He is the only God. He is Creator God. If you are saved, you have been saved by Him, not of our own works. And we're saved again to be His workmanship and to do good works, to be zealous. What can I do now, Lord? What can I do? Jody, in looking for workers here at VBS. Again, your willingness. I believe Tim had skit auditions. I want to be John the Baptist. I want to be Elijah. I want to be whoever it is. Again, I really believe, I didn't talk to Tim about this, but I really believe he prayed about who should be what and trying to fit each one of you in. And the skits, it's every year. I probably repeat myself. Fantastic. Fantastic. Some of you definitely have extreme talent in various areas. That doesn't mean God's going to use you there. I thought my talents were somewhere else. One thing I didn't want to be was a missionary to Africa when I was real young. And I didn't want to be a preacher even when I went through seminary. God, so that you get the glory. Sometimes He takes our talents, which come from Him and is creating us, and sometimes He gives us something entirely different. It's about Him and our willingness to say, Lord, I don't know how, I don't know why, whatever, but I'm willing. And you've heard the term before, the greatest ability that you can have is availability. I think I've used that enough because I believe it's true. I believe it's true if we're willing to do what God calls us to do. Yes. God gets the glory. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your fantastic. No. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Someone put it this way. If our lives do not produce the fruits of good works, all our conversion experiences are apt to be delusions. Delusions. We are His poem. We are His creation for good works. Salvation. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth within me. Salvation, a new life, And you are to be able to rest in it. We've been talking about rest on Sunday nights here from Hebrews chapter 3 into 4. Rest in it even as we work it out, even as we live it out. That's what God has called us to. Ray Stebbins says, in consequence, quote, this saves you from the silly need to run to every new theological fad that comes along, every new book that comes out, every new tape, every new program, thinking you need to have some vast new experience which will change your whole life. No. You need only grasp and understand more fully and then put into practice the riches of God's grace already provided for you in Jesus Christ. I remind you, you are saved by faith and not any works of our own. But you must believe it. You must believe God's word. I go back to Ephesians 1, verse 13. 1:13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And also then, verse 19 of Ephesians 1, and that is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Security. God wants us to have that security. God wants us to know for certain where we're at. The reminder of his word here is it's not based on my works, but it's on his. And the Holy Spirit has been given to me as a pledge within, a guarantee that what God has begun, he will complete. But God has to begin it. And we begin by hearing the call and believing what he said. Then it's a reality. It's a promise. Wiersbe, once again, I quote him, since we have not been saved by our good works, we cannot be lost by our bad works. We cannot be lost by our bad works. No, it's a gift from him and the promise that what he has begun, he will complete. There was a famous actor. I want to go to John MacArthur, who shares this account. Maybe you've heard it. We sang the song about the shepherd here earlier. Well, at this home get-together, social gathering, the famous actor was there. And someone, I was going to say congregation, but someone attending the party as well, asked the famous actor, would you please quote Psalm 23 for us? No, I won't, unless one of the others there, an old guy, an old preacher, unless after I recite Psalm 23, he agrees to do the same. The old preacher, he agreed. The actor, he knew the lines of Psalm 23. I don't know how much else he knew of the Bible. But he knew the lines, and he recited them. People were in awe. Oh, there's a reason this guy's a famous actor. And applause. I'm not sure if it was a standing ovation in the house or wherever they were meeting. But great applause. And the old preacher, he recited it. None of that. Every eye was wet with tears. Someone asked, what was the difference? What was the difference? The actor said this, I knew Psalm 23. He knew the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know Jesus? Does he live within you? God help us. How and why? Let us pray. God, only God, holy God, the God who has the authority to send us to hell. And he should. We don't honor him. We don't thank him as we should. We don't live as we should. And in one sense, we're not capable of. But you, God, Holy Spirit, you tell us as well that your word will not return empty. You alone can see inside our hearts, every one of us. Lord God, what do you see? It may not be what we see, but what's important is what you see. Lord God, you tell us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yes, belief is more than head knowledge. It's an understanding of who we are. It's an understanding to the degree we can understand how Jesus' death on the cross has paid for our sins so that righteousness of him comes upon our account. Lord God, for any here this morning not born again, draw them to yourself is my prayer. For any here who are not sure of what all of it means or what has to be done, Spirit of God, draw them to ask of someone today. Lord God, we who are born again, who know where we fall short. Okay, let's refer to at the end of Sunday school this morning. Where we fall short as adults or as kids, as teens, young adults, whatever. May we ask forgiveness. May we want to change and take us and move us along as your poem to be zealous for good works that you have for each one that you draw to yourself. And this I pray in Jesus' name.